He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, I'm Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power, and it is exciting times that we are living in. If you are watching the news, if you're a Christian, then you should be excited. If you are fearful, if you are scared, then you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Read His Word, and then you will understand that these times must come so that He can come and that we can be with Him throughout eternity. Thank you so much for joining with our broadcast. I want to offer you an invitation to go to my website, hisgospelpower.org. That's hisgospelpower.org. But I would like to give you more training if you would like to get that. All you have to do is fill out your email on the front page there, and there's more training. I will put you on my email list. I will continuously be able to send you things, keep you updated on our ministry as we grow and as we minister to the world and minister to the lost around the world. I am so excited that you join with our ministry. And now let's hear this week's message. This last week, we went to a conference. It's called A Call for Discernment. Little did I know that it was going to call us to be discerning, that it was going to speak to us to discern the Word of God from the speaker that was speaking. And unfortunately, you can always investigate these conferences that you go to, and you can look at what's been said, and you can do everything you can do, but you never know what's actually going to be said until you get there. Well, there were several things that he said that I would like to at least give the other side. I'm not going to say correct, other than the fact there are some of them that I actually consider as heresy. So I don't know if I should step out so far as to say heresy. However, what the conference was about was to expose heresy. That's what we were going to the conference to expose the heresy of today. The teachings of the Word that have been taught to us incorrectly. And of course it was to talk about the left, basically the televangelists that are on the TV, that are saying, if you send me enough money, I'll pray for you and you'll get healed. That's what it was to expose. It was to expose the name it and claim it. It was to expose putting God in a box and say, God, I'm going to allow you to do this, but only when I ask you to do it. That's what it was to expose. But instead what happened is, God was put into another box all the way on the other side and took away the power of God in our lives. And that's what happened. Now, I know many of you did not go to the conference. Praise the Lord. Some of you did. And this is for you to get into the Word of God and discern for yourself what the Word says. Not taking my word for it. Good. Fortunately, this man said, don't take my word for it. Study the Word. I did that. I still came back to the same conclusions that I have had previously. My God is a God that is all powerful and has not changed ever. And that's what it led me to. So, we're starting a new series. At least one good thing came from the conference. It gave me a new series topic. Has God ever changed? That's the series topic. Has God ever changed? Has God changed? Is He different than He was in the beginning? Is He different than He was 2,000 years ago? Is He different just because the apostles are no longer here? Has God changed? The premise of the speaker in A Call for Discernment is, yes, He has changed. He is not the same God that we have had 2,000 years ago. He is not the same God that created man from the earth. I'm not going to speak the man's name because I know this radio program will be heard on the air. And I don't really want to give credit so that they might go Google him and actually get tied up into what he might say to them where somebody believes what he is teaching. So I'm not going to speak his name. Hopefully I will not do it by accident. But purposely, I'm going to try not to mention his name. Because the call for discernment that I have is that I discerned that the power of God has been stripped of him through the teachings of this man. The call for discernment. Now, it was an eye-opening conference about false prophets. And many of us know these false prophets. Most of us have seen these evangelists get up and make some kind of... They either say that God is in a box and that you can pull his strings. He's our genie in the lamp. They either say, God is our genie in the lamp. You want something? You just rub the word right here and he'll give it to you. Either that or they don't speak about God at all. Which is just as bad. There's no power unless it is in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the only power that we have is the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, by the way, said greater things than these things that he was doing miraculously, will you do in my name? He was not only speaking to the apostles. If he were, why write it in his word to us at all? Why not just leave it out? We don't need that. However, in the zeal to expose the extremists, we'll say on the left, he is extremely on the right, and I believe they're both extremely wrong. God calls us to a balance, to walk down the middle of the road. It has been said that if you're walking too far to the left, you're going to get in the ditch. If you're walking too far on the right, you're going to get in the ditch as well. You've got to stay on the road, on the pavement, to make sure that you stay where God wants us to be. Has God changed? No, He has not. Has He said that all of the promises that He has given to us will change? No, He's not. We're going to examine the Scripture together. We're going to see what God says. Now, this particular individual said that he was an expository preacher, which means that you go through the Scripture exegetically, which means that you take out of the Scripture, you extract from the Scripture its true meaning. That's exegesis is. You extract it from the Scripture. You read the Scripture and then extract it from what the Scripture says. He told us that he was an expository preacher. And then he proceeded to prove his points eisegetically, which means you isolate a few little verses that you can pull out at your own liking. You just pull out the one verse that makes your side look good. We're not going to do that. We're going to look and delve into the Scriptures and be sure that we put it in its entire context. And that means the entire context of the Word of God. Not the entire context of the one paragraph. Not the entire context of even the book that happen to be in at the week. But the entire context of the Word of God. There's at least three things that I want to address in this coming series. Three things that were stated. Aside from His written Word of God, God does not speak to us today. That was one thing that was said in this conference. Aside from the written Word of God, God no longer speaks to you or me. The Old Testament promises were for Israel only. the Old Testament promises. When the rain is over, there's a good chance, I would say an excellent chance, somewhere someone is going to see a rainbow. What does that rainbow mean? Does it mean absolutely nothing any longer? It is just a scientific phenomenon that just happens to happen because of the way the world has been made? No, it was a Noahic promise that God gave to Noah, that He said, the rainbow will be to remind you of my promise never to destroy the earth again in a flood. That's only one of the promises. But most importantly, the entire Old Testament talks about maybe a little promise that you've heard of. It's called the New Covenant, which is the promise of the Messiah that will come and give us salvation for eternity. Is that promise no longer valid? The Old Testament promises were only for Israel, according to our speaker this last week. And lastly, the gifts of the Holy Spirit have ceased. That's called secessionism. I know that's a big word. Seems like it's a big word. Secessionism. Secessionist is one who believes that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are done with the last apostle. And if you want to remember that, just remember secessionist, secede. When you secede from something, you're pulling out from that. It's not the same as it was. But just the word secessionism shows you that that requires change, does it not? There was a time when you saw bumper stickers that said, secede from the Union. They were for Texas. They had a Texas flag on. Secede from the Union. If we secede from the Union, will that not require a change? Yes, it will. So secessionism, unless it follows the Word of God, if God decided to stop the gifts, if He decided to stop the promises, if He decided to stop all of that, and it could still conform to the Word of God, it would work for the characteristics of God, because our God is a big word, immutable. Y'all are getting a big language lesson today, aren't you? Our God is immutable. You know what that means? He is unchanging. Our God is unchanging. And as long as those could be withdrawn without actually changing the characteristics of God, it could happen. But instead, if God decides that secession has happened, it changes those promises that He has told to us that will happen. The promises of Israel, the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the New Covenant. It would change those promises. They would not be valid any longer. As you might have guessed, He gave me a brand new word that I'd never heard. In seminary, we just called it non-secessionist. That's real easy. It's just a hyphenated word. You're a secessionist. You believe the gifts have stopped. You're a non-secessionist. You believe the gifts have not. Well, he called it a continualist. Okay, I learned a new word. Whatever you want to call it, I like continualist, actually. The reason I like continualist is because God never changed. Non-secessionist almost sounds like I'm just not conforming to what you believe, but continualist shows that, you know, God did not change. He continued with the promises that He had given to us thousands of years ago. They haven't changed. If they have changed, then I am in danger of not having eternal salvation. Because if He can change one promise, why would He not change the promise that says the new covenant that I have eternal salvation? I think it's a dangerous theology. My God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 6:13 says, when God made His promise to Abraham, this, by the way, is one of those promises that our speaker said, wait a minute, don't listen to the promises of Abraham because they're no longer valid. If they're no longer valid, why are they included in the New Testament, the New Covenant?
in the Word of God. When God made His promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, because God is unchangeable. He knows that His Word is valid. We can trust His Word. If we can't trust His Word, how are we going to do anything? We can trust His Word. I will surely bless you and give you many descendants, he told to Abraham. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all arguments, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. He's unchanging. We can trust God's Word not to change. God did this so that two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. In other words, by Hebrews, God's not going to lie to us. We can trust exactly what He says, and because we can trust in what God has said, we should be encouraged. Because we know in His Word, He has told us in the new covenant that we can have Jesus Christ into our heart. And when we take it into our heart, we take Him. We become a new creature, and we can trust that. Because God won't lie. Because He's not going to change His mind. We can trust Him. Psalm 119:89 says, Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. What He has told us from Genesis to Revelation, if God's word is eternal, it means it's not changing. Do you realize, maybe you don't realize this, in one way, your word is never changing. In one way. In that, when you release your word, because James says, be careful about what you speak, because you can't pull it back. It's said, it's done. How many of you kids know that when you put something on the internet, trust me, when it goes on Facebook, it can never be brought back. It is out there. Somebody has read that word, and even if you delete it, it's still out there, still on someone's mind. Those words just go out. Now, God's words are eternal because they were from the beginning. Ours are not eternal, but they can be eternal from now until the rest of eternity. Because we've spoken, and we cannot bring them back. When you speak a word, you be careful that that word that you were speaking was one you want to say. Because you can't bring it back in. You can't do it. Have you ever sent an email or a Facebook or any text and you push the send button and it's like, oh, I wish I hadn't sent that. It hits you right then. Boom. You've already sent it. And it's like, oh, come back. No, I don't want it. It's too late. It's out there. But yet the Word of God is from the beginning to the end. It is eternal. It cannot change. Because God has done it. If God has ceased to do something, that means He's changed. Especially if He has done something that is against His nature. And what does promise mean? Even as mere physical beings, if you take the spirituality out of it, an atheist can give you a promise. Many times it's called a contract. Promise means something that you're going to give and you're not going to back up on it. It's something you're going to stand behind. Now, as people, we don't do that very good. Many times we make a contract or a promise and we revoke them all the time. But God's promise He made to us, and it's unchanging. His promise that He gives to us will not change. It will not cease. And He has given to that promise, all of those promises that He says, even the one to Abraham, was it was for all generations. Hallelujah. It is for all generations. That includes these generations here. How many generations do you reckon we've got in this room? Three? Four maybe. Four probably. Four generations in this room. The promises are real today for us. If they are not valid, we can throw the Word of God out and sleep late on Sunday. But they are valid. And that is why we come in and we praise Him. We thank Him for the rain. We thank Him for the sunshine. We thank Him for the breath that's in our body. That's why we do it, because we know that God's Word is eternal, is not changing. First, it's important that you know Jesus is God. Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. James 1:16, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change. Those three scriptures that you see on your screen. But first, Jesus is God. John 1:1-4, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus Christ is God. And the Bible continues in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Jesus Christ is God, the Word put on flesh. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. John 1:6-13. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that the light, so that through all men, through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. Let's talk about John the Baptist. He came only to witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. The world was made through Jesus Christ, but it did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Without those promises of the Old Testament, this promise is invalid. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. He has not changed. He's the same God that we worshipped 2,000 years ago. He's the same God, Yahweh, that was worshipped in the book of Genesis through the Old Testament. He's the same God that we have worshipped for 2,000 years. He has not changed. This first part of this series is extremely important to grasp if you're going to believe the rest. God has not changed. John 1:14-18, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning Him. He cries out saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me has surpassed me because He was before me. From the fullness of His grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law of Moses was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known. Jesus and God have not changed. They are the same yesterday, today, and forever. They are part of the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God. They are all one. His promises that He has given to us are absolutely true. You can stand on them today. They have not changed. You are saved. If you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. You are brand new. You walk with the joy of the Holy Spirit that gives you life each and every day. And in that life, the promise of the power of the Holy Spirit resides within you that you can walk the victorious life. Without the power that God gives to us, we couldn't walk on this earth in victory and in joy. It couldn't happen. It couldn't be done. There's too much turmoil that comes at us every single day. There's turmoil of the classroom. There's turmoil of the workplace that you're working at. There's the world news that we see. There's all of the things that we see in this world that try to disrupt our spirit, that come against us. But the power of the Holy Spirit, which has not changed for 2,000 years and before, but Acts, the book of Acts says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will receive power. What's the power for? So we can walk in the victorious life of John 10:10, that we can walk in abundance of Christ, that we can continue to spread His gospel. And that's what the power is for. It's not to say, look at me, I have the gift of healing. It's not to say, look at me, I have the gift of miraculous powers. It's not to say, look at me, I have the gift of helps or administration. It's not to say, look at me at all. It is to say, look at Jesus. Here's the power. The power of Holy Spirit is in me so that I might bring you the gospel, so that you can see an all-powerful God who resides in me, who has not changed in the 54 years that I have been alive, and is the same 2,000 years ago. He is the same God that has lengthened legs through my hands. He is the same God that we have prayed for countless times in this congregation for people who have an affliction and they get healed. Not through the doctors, although the doctors have healed as well. Some of them we have prayed and have been successful operations, and that's fine. Some of you we have prayed for and have not had to have operations because of the miraculous powers of Jesus Christ, which have not changed. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe that God gives us those gifts so that we can be overcomers and so that we can minister to the unbeliever. And God tells us that in His Word. And He says that signs are for unbelievers. And I don't know about you, but I see unbelievers today. I can't see why we wouldn't need the signs any longer. He says He gave us the signs for the unbeliever. Well, if you believe the signs have ended with the last apostle, we must all be saved. We're already in utopia. We're already in heaven. All of this turmoil and everything that we're seeing is not real at all. But we know that everyone is not saved. We know there are unbelievers. We know there are those who need Jesus Christ. And in order for us to minister to them, we need that power to reside within us to be able to speak it to them. If any of God's promises have changed, we cannot rely on the promise of salvation. That new covenant, which goes with the five major covenants of the Word of God, is absolutely extremely important, but it will not stand on its own. It has to go with the four other covenants that God has given to us to show that God is unchanging, to show that God is trustworthy, to show that His promises are still valid today. The good news today is God has not changed. He is the same. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because He is the same, if you accept Him today as your Savior, He will miraculously save you. He will miraculously come into your heart. He will miraculously change you. Now, in many, the change is instantaneous as far as you know there's something different, but not necessarily everything about your life changes immediately. There's some things that maybe need to be learned. But I have seen drunk men be sobered when they come to Christ. I've seen those changes because of the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you accept Him today, He will change your life. He will make you a new person. He will make you the kind of person He wants you to be. He will begin to grow you because He hadn't changed. And He'll help, but He will help you to begin to change into His image.
Hello, my name is Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power and author of the book True Freedom. This is a listener-supported ministry, so I'm asking for your help. You could help in many ways. You could go to Amazon.com and buy any one of my books. If you just type in Rick Hurtless, you can take a look at the different books that I offer. My latest book is True Freedom. And, of course, you can go to my website, HisGospelPower.org, HisGospelPower.org. And there is a donate button on that website. You can click on that website. You can make a donation that way. Or if you would just like to mail it the old-fashioned way, mail your checks to P.O. Box 1569, P.O. Box 1569, Rockdale, Texas, 76567. And I would appreciate your help in this matter and, in fact, with any future support that you would like to give to this radio ministry. If it is blessing you, if you are hearing the Word of God and you are being fed on this radio broadcast, it would be my honor to accept your donation so that I might keep bringing it to you, bringing it to the living room.